Welcome to the Best of the Sports Shop podcast with Reese and K-Mac.
Written in stone.
Kevin Keats is a winner.
Questions?
I tell you, it's always refreshing when one of the reasons why I love my job, because we had an opportunity to do what we did yesterday. And what we did yesterday was be part of the ACC tip-off basketball media day. And in case you didn't know, this is where they bring in all the teams. All the teams come in, all the coaches, and each coach brings two players with them. And they do assortment of things. They do TV with the ACC network. They go in and have these breakout rooms where they put all the teams up on the stage and one by one, and all of us can ask questions. Then they go in other breakout rooms individually, where they have each player and coach have their own little section. And we're gonna post pictures too about all these things, and where you can hear. Ask them questions then. Then they come down to where we are, Radio Row. And this year, it was only 8 stations there, which means that it's pretty cool for us because we get a chance to talk to everybody. And you're gonna hear throughout the rest of the week some people we talk to. But today, you're going to hear from the most winningest coach in college basketball, Coach Mike Krzyzewski. He was our first interview we had yesterday. Along with, later on the week, Jerrod Baker, the three-point maker. I call him Wendell Moore. You're going to hear from Coach Kevin Keats. And, of course, Bates and, Jericho Helms and all those guys. You're going to hear from Jeff Cable and a couple of his players. You're going to hear from Jim Boeheim, which was an unbelievable interview. Along with Buddy Boeheim, my new favorite player on the ACC. I had to take a selfie with him. We're here about that as well.
Your buddy's buddy?
I'm buddy's buddy. Then we had a chance to hang out with, because my favorite ACC coach, he happens to be a new one, Coach Hubert Davis. Give him a hard time about my gray beard. We talked to him along with Kata Love and got some interesting comments from Kata Love as well. We also had a chance to talk to Jim Nariga, of Miami. And a couple of his players. That was a good conversation we had. And I'm just trying to think who else to talk to. And man, we had a chance to talk with Lenny Hamilton. Probably my other favorite coach. And by the way, he's agreed to do a weekly thing with us on the Sports Shop.
Nice.
He came over with his music. We share a love, me, him, and K-Mac, of gospel music. And he's a gospel music artist, by the way, in case people didn't know
that. The turnaround.
So he came over and we rocked with him for a while, along with a couple of his players. It was just a really cool day. Had a chance to hear from the commission. You hear more about that. But today, we're gonna be rocking, man. Today on this show, we rolling with, of course, talk more about the ACC. We got Brother James White coming up, and I just hope he's gonna address the John Gruden. I don't know. We never know what he's going to talk about, but I'm assuming it's going to be somewhere in that space. And we're going to have another little nice piece today, history of North Carolina basketball. We've got a couple guys who authored a book, Volume 1, which is talking about the years of from 1961 to 1971. So, no, let me back it up. 1891. To 1961, Carolina basketball. 1891 to 1961.
You're going all the way back.
And spoiler alert, there were no black players in part of Carolina basketball doing 1891 in 1961. But this is Volume 1, and we're going to talk about that with the authors of the book. They'll be rocking with us. Then we got Lauren Brownlow as well. So we got a fun, unbelievable day. And again, just going back on the ACC season, it was just incredible. It was just incredible, man.
I'm jealous. Then again, I got to go to the NASCAR race and talk to James Bond.
I know. I know. You was just in Charlotte. What are you talking about?
Right.
So, I mean, I was jealous.
But, But I haven't been to any one of these ACC media days for football or basketball, and I always wondered, sitting here in the chair at the studio, what it's like for you guys over there.
Well, it was really cool. Our table was located during on Radio Row was right by the restaurant where they serve everybody food in the Marriott. So we could literally we were literally 10 feet away from going to get coffee, danishes. They had an awesome breakfast. They fed us, and of course they fed us this soul food lunch. Well, they had brisket, they had ribs. I didn't get over to get the ribs. They had chicken, pulled chicken and pulled pork and collard greens, like for real. I mean, so you know, it was really cool. But man, this is one of those things that it was just phenomenal. Shout out to the ACC. Shout out to my man Tyler, who's assistant assistant over communications. He makes sure that the sports shop is taken care of, and I just want to give him a shout out, man. He always makes sure that he brings it. Again, we got join us. Don't forget to join us around 8:20 today. We got Coach K joining us on the shop with some really interesting comments. But let's hear some sounds from yesterday. The first thing I hear from Coach Kevin Keith that says that the Wolfpack are not a bronze medalist. Let's take a listen.
I don't like the bronze medal thing. I can tell you that now, because we're not bronze medal to anybody. That being said, I'll spend, because I know I'll get a couple questions about this, and it is important. What Coach K and Roy Williams did for college basketball is probably second to none. When you look at those guys, between the two of them, they have 8 national championships, and Coach K has 6 gold medals. And so they have both been tremendous, not just for the ACC, but for our entire, basketball programs across the country. And so they will be missed. They'll be missed, not just on the court and what they've done, but also just behind the scenes, the thing that they fought for. As far as the, opportunity, we look for opportunity from the day that I got here. We're NC State. We don't try to be Duke. We don't try to be Carolina. They have their own programs, and we fight for us. I like the brand that we're building. We're getting there. We're putting some pieces on the floor that can be effective every night. I like the direction that our program's going in.
Coach Keith, man, Kevin Keith.
Question.
Man, his shoe, Kevin Keith's shoe game was incredible. He had some Prada's on yesterday.
Not the Prada's.
So men wear Prada's too, huh? That's how you roll, okay, back. Right, I don't have no Prada's. I don't have no Prada's.
You don't have Prada?
Ain't
no Prada.
Ain't no Prada. No problem. Michael, you crazy. No. You got a pair of KMA because I don't.
No, I don't have a pair of Prada shoes. No, I don't.
But no, his shoe game is.
Life coach.
You're going to find out later on this week that we're going to be posting a lot of interviews. His shoe game is impeccable. He came on giving KMA a hard time about. I guess he had bucked at you the night before he came back.
Yeah, I don't understand. I didn't offer him anything. I'm thinking, you should be feeding me. Come on, coach.
You see, he walked in, he was hungry, and came back to him offering no food.
he said the bread was free. He could have offered me some bread.
He said the bad part about it, the bread was free, and he still offered me. but it was just incredible opportunity. That's one of the good things about having this job is what happened yesterday. Let's hear from our coach Hubert Davis, who talked about Orlando Baycott's development.
Well, I think it's going to complement Armando tremendously. Last year we had 4 unbelievable bigs, but, for the most part, we had 4 traditional bigs that posted up down low on the block. And so one of the things from an offensive standpoint is I've always loved versatile bigs. And so with Armando coming back and being able to add, Justin McCoy and Brady Manick and Dawson Garcia, bigs that can handle the basketball, that can make plays on the perimeter, that can shoot from 3, from an offensive standpoint, it's going to give us the spacing and balance and movement that we wanted on the offensive end. And then you throw, the development of Armando. One of the things that people don't understand is throughout the summer, every week he made 1,000 threes. We've had great discussion about him and his dreams and goals of playing at the next level in the NBA. And one of the things that I told him is in order for that to happen, you're going to have to develop a perimeter game, being able to handle the basketball and make plays on the perimeter. And Armando's ability now to be able to handle the basketball, make plays on the perimeter, and shoot the ball from the outside is going to work perfectly alongside those three transfers.
A couple quick comments on that. We talked to Caleb Love. He said, Brady Manic, he don't miss. So he just don't miss. If I heard Coach say that, well, I would ask Coach, well, that's cool about Baker, but what the hell is Leaky Black doing? Is he making shots? Is he taking shots? So Leaky, he's still trying to make a jump shot.
That's just not his thing.
Well, he gonna be in studio with us next year because he won't be in the NBA. I'll tell you that. But he didn't say
that was his aspirations and goals.
I did notice that. But you know, it's three things that Leaky can do to help his game, and you all know him. One is Pepsi Zero Sugar. The other one is Mountain Dew Zero Sugar, and the third one is the official Sports Apparel Sports Shop. Under Armour, keep you right and keep you tight all night.
Get it right, get it tight. Call a pop up of Sparks, Ying Yang Twins.
They'd give his ass away for a box of cookies if they could.
Wow.
Stephen A. talking about Kyrie Irving and that situation.
It's the Sports Shop with Reese and K-Mac.
We mentioned more to the story. We have no idea what he's going to do today, but we always get prepared to get our pen and paper ready because we have more to the story, our main man, James White. Brother White, what's going on now? How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing well. I feel like that here's another time when we want to quickly move away from a moment that really causes us all to reflect in the mirror. Yes, most recently we heard the words, and you all are right, from John Grudem, after comments from emails, and this is hard for us to get our minds around. They go all the way back from 2011 to 2018, and I don't like saying this. Here we go again. Emails were found because we were investigating my team, Washington.
K-Max team too.
And in those emails, yes, homophobic statements, misogynistic images of topless Washington cheerleaders, and yes, racism. Yet we're surprised when we hear John Grudem declare, "I'm not a racist." He even said in one interview that he doesn't have a racial bone in his body. Now, you know what? There's some that would agree that he's not racist because that kind of cognitive dissonance is nothing that we should be surprised about. Some would even say he's a good leader. Well, he does join the company of other leaders in America. Listen to what one leader said. "I advanced it, therefore, as a suspicion only, that blacks, whether originally a distinct race or made distinct by time or circumstances, are inferior to whites in the endowments of both body and mind," says our founding father, Thomas Jefferson. There's a physical difference between white and black races, which I believe forever forbid the two races of living together. While they do remain together, there must be a position of superior and inferior. As much as any man, I'm in favor of having the superior position assigned to white, said in 1858 in a debate with Stephen Douglas, our sign of the Emancipation Proclamation, Abraham Lincoln. Oh, there's one more. His chauffeur in his book, Capitol Hill in Black and White, said that, yes, he asked him the question, "Do you prefer that I call you a boy, N-word, or chief, or by your name?" And when Parker said that he preferred to be called by his name, the leader was angry and said this to him: "As long as you're black, you're going to be black till the day you die. And no one's going to call you by your GD name. No matter what, you'll be called the N-word. So you just need to let it roll off your back like water and you'll make it. Just pretend you're a GD piece of furniture," said the signer of the 1964 Civil Rights Act, President Lyndon Baines Johnson. And some would say they're not racist. several months ago, Senator Tim Scott, in response to, again, our president said that America is not a racist nation. Maybe it's not a racist nation, but the systems of racism has roots that are all throughout that nation. And those roots find their way in the NFL. George Orwell wrote it this way. He said, but if thought corrupts language, language can also corrupt thought. Yes, 70% of the players in the NFL are black, and only three head coaches. Maybe the problem that we're dealing with is not John Gruden, but a system of professional sports in the NFL and entertainment that produces the John Grudens in our world. We will not solve the problem by simply picking away the bad fruit of John Gruden. But at some point, we better keep digging through those emails, and we got to dig up the roots that created John Gruden. Disapproving of the words of one individual will not dismantle the system that produced him. Mm. And that system is all around us. And so let me just say this. Why is all this the case? Because let's not go by the story too quickly. Because there's always more to the story.
Wow. I mean, we may have a part two on this one, Brother White. I couldn't write fast enough. We're going to have to go back and listen again. We post these things often. We definitely be posting yours, man. It's K-Matt, there we go again. Brother White dropping it.
Dropping the
knowledge on us.
Dismantling the system, though.
Yes, system I love man. That. I love that. Brother White. It's always amazing, man. And you kind of take us back. I mean, some of that stuff I kind of heard about, but some of it you kind of brought it to light again, and reminded us that we still got work to do.
we miss. I think Colin Kaepernick began to give us a clue, and even the way we dealt with that, there's a system we got to deal with. And yes, thankful for NFL sports and the growth, but let's not miss the moment to just pass this by. We all got to examine once again. There really is more to this story.
And there it is. Brother White, thank you so much, man. Always a pleasure. All right. I look forward to you every time, man.
It's the Sports Shop with Reese and K-Mac.
But I do want to just jump on Kyrie K-Mac. Yesterday, real quickly, the Brooklyn Nets say that Kyrie Irving won't play or practice until he's eligible under the local COVID-19 vaccination mandate. The general manager, Sean Parr, said this on yesterday. His decision not to comply with New York City's city COVID-19 vaccine mandate left the organization with no choice. He's going to have to sit his ass down until he makes a decision. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts on this, Mac?
At this point, if he don't want to play, he don't want to play.
Right.
The rule is what the rule is. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why we keep going back and forth, like we expect Kyrie to do anything other than what he wants to do.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
if he doesn't want to play, here are the rules, here are the parameters.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to resign, resign. If you want to, you know, just sit out, sit out. I don't understand what you want from me, but we're moving on. We're moving on. And this whole Kyrie's missing from the team. Well, how the hell is that different from last year? Hell, he wasn't have time anyway.
Because you remember he took a couple of breaks, 15 days or something. He had to go, no, I don't know what. But you know, the thing is, though, I'm tired of damn Kyrie. If you want to play, damn it, don't play. But let's hear from Stephen A. Smith, ESPN, who talked about how you felt about this with Kyrie.
They'd give his ass away for a box of cookies if they could. They're so disgusted with this dude. I'm telling you what I know, all right? Y'all figure out how the hell I know that. I ain't asking. I'm telling you. It's that disgusting. It's just that, like Kendrick Perkins said, this brother, when he says he might retire if he get traded, Keyshawn, we all know he might. He ain't playing now. I mean, he's that kind of dude. And so as a result, you got teams that don't want to trade for him, A, because he might retire, or B, he might be just as much trouble for them because his focus ain't just on basketball. And as a result, they got to give equitable compensation in return for his services. And why give away that for a dude you cannot trust? And be clear, you cannot trust Kyrie to be anything but Kyrie. He gonna do what he feels is best for him. And everybody else be damned. And it's a damn shame because now you might lose James Harden because Daryl Morey is lurking in Philadelphia. Don't think for one second Daryl Morey ain't trying to get his hands on James Harden. I'm telling you what I know.
Well, I don't understand the last moment. I mean, why would James Harden do that?
Because he know he not winning either.
I mean, he can win. James Harden, KD, they can win, bro. They can win. But to Stephen A's point, yeah, Kyrie's gonna do what Kyrie does. That's fine. He doesn't have to do anything. He can quit. I don't care. But anyway, we're gonna talk more about this a little later.
He already quit. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. This is gonna be a very interesting one. Going forward, but we'll get to this in the next hour as well. Hey man, I'm so excited to talk, bring up this other topic. A friend of the show, guy I know a long time, Dave Hannes, former coach at under Coach Smith and played at Carolina. A good buddy of mine. He connected me with these two guys, man. That you ever want to know the history of college of one of the best programs in basketball, college basketball, University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. You can find that right now. You can there's a publication that's out that can describe everything. And this is just volume one. This is the Tar Heels, History of UNC Basketball, volume one, from years 1891 to 1961. And we're so proud and excited to have Carl in on the History of Alamo Group Hotline. Two guys, we got Dale Talbert and Ron Smith, the authors of the book, man, and welcome to the Sports Shop. Dale, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing fine, but Ron, I helped Ron, but let's give credit. Ron Smith's the author of the book, and he's the one that did all the work.
So, well, you know, well, if you help, you can say you're an author, and we'll just go with that too as well. But no, but Ron, good morning, Ron. How are you?
I'm good. I tell you that, Reese, we've met before.
Yep.
We actually with Phil. It must have been 20 years. We sat together.
Yeah.
The North Carolina Sports Hall of Fame induction.
Okay. Yeah, I do remember that. So Dale, Ron, I'll let you take this question. Obviously, the history of Carolina, but why do you feel compelled? You really wanted to tell this story about the University of North Carolina basketball program.
Well, I guess the easy answer, well, there's not really an easy answer. I started collecting stuff when I was a kid after I met Coach Smith in 1965. So I just had a lot of memorabilia. And one day, probably 10, 15 years ago, I was at Barnes & Noble and saw a book by Bill Wyman, who was the bass player for the Rolling Stones. It was a coffee table book full of memorabilia. And I'm thinking, gosh, this is really cool. I wish somebody would do something like this for the Yankees or Red Sox or whoever, Carolina basketball, Duke basketball, whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. So I had a friend tell me, why don't you do it? And I said, well, you're crazy. I could never do anything like that. So I just kind of dove into it a little bit at a time. And that's how it started.
Wow.
Outstanding. So
what I did is I went to the microfilm room at Duke and started going through microfilm of newspapers beginning in 1911 and with the first season of UNC basketball, and then went through 1912, and I was going through the box scores and putting together the statistics. And what I found out from Steve Kirshner at UNC is they didn't have any of that information. So he said, go for it. So I guess I did.
Absolutely.
I think it's fascinating the connection Ron, talk about the connection to James Naismith all the way, you know, how quickly it came to Charlotte and then Chapel Hill. That's a great connection that starts the book.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the interesting thing that I found was when James Naismith invented the game in 1891, his class, It was a YMCA training school, and the game from there developed through the YMCA. So basically his class then that graduated from Springfield College in 1892-93 went to various places in the world. And one of the guy who had actually named the game basketball, was Frank Mahan. And he came to Charlotte in 1894 and was in Charlotte for 6 years. And he taught these kids how to play basketball. And then those kids, when they grew, got older, they ended up at UNC. And these four guys from Charlotte that were taught the game by Frank Mahan started the program at UNC in 1910.
Wow. Go ahead, Mac.
Wow, outstanding. Excuse me. We're talking with authors Dale Tabbitt and Ron Smith. You're talking about a Tar Heel, talking about the Tar Heels, a history of UNC basketball, Volume 1, from 1891 to 1961. And Dale, as you guys are part of this process, what's probably been something that you learned that just really, really, really shocked you as being a part of this process?
Well, I think Ron really wrote the book and did all the research, and he gets all the credit in the world for coming up with all of this kind of stuff. But I found in the early parts of the book, to me, the rule changes and stuff, I think people will find fascinating. The idea that in some respects it was like soccer. Players weren't allowed to be substituted. Once you came out of a game, you had to stay out of the game. You'll look at the early box scores that Ron did such a great job putting all the statistics together, and you'll notice that, gosh, how come one guy shot all the free throws? Well, they had a designated free throw shooter back in those days. Just one guy shot all the free throws. So things like that, you'll find, I believe, that Ron's done an incredible job of research. And it's not just about Carolina basketball, but it's about the forming of the Atlantic Coast Conference, splitting off from the Southern Conference. It goes back, and some historical things, the Dixie Classic that took place in Raleigh, the formation of not only the conference, but the start of the ACC tournament that we love so much. There's so much history in there that there's a whole lot. Yes, it's North Carolina UNC centric, but there's an awful lot of other good stuff in there. If you like basketball, you're going to love this book. Well, let me also stress that yes, lots of research, but again, I patterned this book after the Rolling Stones book that's full of photos that people have never seen before and memorabilia, program covers, ticket stubs, posters. It's coffee table size, color. So yes, there's a lot of research out and information. But as you guys, you've got a copy of the book, you can tell.
Yeah.
It's not page after page of words. It's memorabilia.
Beautiful full page color pictures. Some pictures.
Ron did an incredible job of finding pictures that have never been seen before. You know, when you think about pictures that you're familiar with, a photographer goes to a ball game, be it for the newspaper or whatever, and they take a gazillion pictures, but only two or three end up actually being used in, let's say, Sports Illustrated or the Durham newspaper or in Chapel Hill. Well, Ron found all of these great pictures that never been seen before and used a lot of them in the book. So it's a pictorial history. It's a book that you can pick up and read certain chapters or certain players. You don't necessarily read it cover to cover, sit down.
Right.
It's something you can pick up and enjoy and go back to for a long time because it's a big book. This is just the first of a three-book series, and it's 474 pages.
Yeah, and that's what I want to talk about real quick. We're talking to Dale Tabbitt and, of course, Ron Smith, guys behind the Tar Heels, A History of UNC Basketball, Volume 1. I noticed you had Larry Brown on here. Coach Brown did the foreword. I don't think he's been there in 1891, but he's been around the program for a long time. to talk about Coach Brown a little bit, his involvement.
I tell you, he would, and that's a great segue into Reese. Just the folks who helped with this, and Dale's being modest, but nothing like this gets done without lots of help. And and Phil and Dave Hanners, Phil Ford, Dale, Dave Chadwick in Charlotte, Larry Brown, you know, they were all instrumental in encouraging me and helping me. And we just put together a great team. And Larry was just incredible. As you know, Larry Reese, you know, you sit down with him and it's like talking to one of your guys you grew up with. I mean, he's just so easy to talk to. Dale's known him longer than me, and has some great stories about Coach Brown, but he could not have been more helpful. We wish him the best in Memphis. He's doing a great job there, but, yeah, he was all in, and as far as helping and writing the forward and telling stories, and the second volume, obviously from 62 to 97, we'll have more Larry Brown stories and photos. And
I can't wait for that one. That's going to be a good one. Hey, so, Dale, Ron, tell people how they can get this book. Cause, I mean, I got a book in my hand. It's a heavy book. It's a coffee table type of book. It's very well-documented pictures and data, everything. So tell people how they can get it right now.
Dale's the marketing guy, so you just go for it.
Well, the book is available. We're selling it. It's in Chapel Hill. Well, the best place to get the book, if you want to get it right now, go online. TheTarHeelBook.com is where you can order it directly, and you'll have it in just a few days. It's also available in downtown Chapel Hill at the Chapel Hill Sportswear Store. It's in the Shrunken Head. Going to be in various other outlets, but the best place to go get it and look for a discount code, thetarheelbook.com is the best place to order it, and you'll have it in a few days.
And I will add that we're at the middle of October. Just a month from now, we'll be at the Thanksgiving show in Raleigh, and we'll be signing books, and that's a 3-day event, Thanksgiving weekend.
Well, we'll make sure we help promote that as well. Hey, guys, Dale and Ron, a good job. I can't wait to get the volume two because it's a lot of people that will be in that one that I'm very, very familiar with. Hey, guys, good job, and looking forward to stuff coming down the line. Dale,
thanks,
Ron, you guys take care.
It's the Sports Shop with Reese and K-Mac.
Well, we do this each and every week, and this week is no different. Today's hump day, but today is also the day we get a chance to talk to Lauren Brownlow from WRLSportsFan.com. You doing, Brownlow?
LB.
Hey, y'all. What's going on? I can't believe y'all have Jimbo Fisher introducing your show after last week.
Last week was less about Jimbo and more about us.
That's right.
We failed ourselves. Jimbo was just happened to be holding the knife.
Y'all were just, y'all finally, you know, the SEC chant. No one can say that y'all don't care about that whole league. Y'all made the ultimate sacrifice for the good of the whole league. Like,
that's exactly what we did.
No one's going to forget. Yeah.
Somebody got to do it. You know what I'm saying?
That's true. We were looking to create and cultivate parity to give the league more respect, and that is what we've done.
Besides, if y'all beat A&M, then what would A&M do? Would that mean they fire Jimbo Fisher and stop paying him that guaranteed money every year? No, come on.
So, but LB, I got a quick question for you. Did you drop us to number five though? Did you personally do that?
Did you do that?
Yeah, that's
y'all
what I'm trying
to
figure out.
Yourselves, I didn't do them. I'm sorry.
Woo. Lauren Brownlow is now society.
I think you'll probably figure out a way to get back up, but I mean, that wasn't a good loss. You know what I didn't do is rank A&M because I'd seen the rest of their season. You know, if they win again, okay, maybe. But like, I know how college football works, right? Like, I know one team can come up and have an unreal performance one week and then fall back to earth. I had seen the rest of A&M's season, so like, as good a win as that was. The rest of it still happened, so I was going to pass on ranking them for me. You know, it's going to be a no for me until I see them do literally anything else resembling that in any other football game this season.
Okay. Solid.
Could I surmise from that ranking that people comfortably believe that the Cincinnati Bearcats are two or three spots better than Alabama?
Okay, so let me ask you a question, because y'all know that I believe in Alabama, and I think I think the world of Alabama, and I think that they're super talented, and they're probably better on paper. They're probably better than any other team in the country. Like, if you want to go that way with it, we can keep number one. Do you know what I mean? Like, because I really think Georgia's better than them? No. You know what I mean? Like, I don't. But that's where it's at right now. You know what I mean? So, what's wrong with them? Hey, they should have beat Georgia, whatever. So, I mean, let's just – I don't know why you're picking on Cincinnati. Cincinnati's done more to – you know.
He was kidding.
Been in the playoff to lose before.
Thank you.
And disappoint everyone. So, I don't think we get to play to make fun of Cincinnati yet. Let's make fun of Georgia instead. It's more fun.
See? See, K-Mac now. She's right about that.
Well, they have earned it more. I can say – I will put it that way. They have earned it more, so –
yeah, let's make fun of Notre Dame and Oklahoma and Georgia. That's more fun.
Okay. There you go. We talking to Laura Brilo, LB, as we call her. We rock really each and every, Wednesday, same place, same time. Last time I saw her, we was trying to figure out how to get into the Marriott. That was last yesterday.
Yeah, I was walking around lost. I was about to walk into a workspace area or something.
Literally, she's telling the truth. But just your quick observations on yesterday and things you heard that may raise your eyebrows or things you already knew in terms of ACC Media Day, Basketball Media Day.
Yeah, it was nice to get back interacting with, players and coaches in person again. I thought that was really fun. It's been weird for college football season, because we're not talking to players in person mostly. It's been strange. And so I enjoyed getting to talk to people in person. And, I did a story for WRL Sports Fan yesterday about what guys did, sort of during COVID quarantines and stuff, and what habits they picked up and hobbies they picked up that they kept with them. Because Lord knows, I think we all picked up some good and bad habits and hobbies, and naturally, as you might expect, some of them are just like us, but some, like Manny Bates, taught himself piano. I'm like, man, y'all out here making us all feel like we wasted our time, but I thought that was interesting to hear kind of how they spent their time and what they wanted to do. And I got to chat up my guy Mike Bray, which I always enjoy because I never really
love him, and love Mike Bray. Just so cool, man. He's just so cool.
He's awesome. Yeah. He's the best. And so that was fun. And, it was interesting to hear some of the Carolina players talk. Caleb Love was talking a little bit about what it was like after the Wisconsin game last year, that Roy was so emotional that he had to have Hubert come step in and talk to the team. I asked Caleb if he thought that meant something, deeper at that time, about Roy. Because I remember seeing Roy after Wisconsin and thinking something was going on. I thought something was different. And Caleb was like, honestly, I thought something was going on ever since he kissed the floor. And I was cracking up because, we all said that. And Roy was like, no,
yes,
it's nothing.
No way. Yeah, he sure did. Right? He sure did.
But it was fun. And it was interesting to hear, from some of the guys. I always enjoy talking to some of the guys, too, that aren't from our area that we don't cover, because you don't really get a chance to talk to them unless it's at a media day event. And all the Notre Dame guys are fun, both players and of course their coach, and it's fun. And it's nice to get guys, even the guys that you cover, in a setting like that too, so you can sort of talk to them a little more casually and have a little fun with them, as opposed to when the season starts.
Yeah, you mentioned came back at we said the best part we had was with Nate. What's the kid from Notre Dame? He was talking about
Lashevsky.
He used to my play against Carolina. He dropped buckets on Carolina.
He tore them up.
Reese was having a hard time recalling the game. He said, you mean the Carolina game? I said,
God almighty.
Be the one, Nate.
And I think, hey, K-Mac, what was the ongoing tally for where all the kids was listening to in their headphones? Lil Durk, was it Lil Durk?
Got a lot of votes, man.
Lil Durk got a lot of votes. Especially Nate was talking about him. Then we had a lot of fun. I'm not sure you had a chance to talk to Buddy Boeheim, but he's a fun talk
as
well. He was just unbelievable.
Buddy's the best. I'll leave it
Buddy was fun. Good stuff.
Buddy's awesome, and like, it's, yeah, he's super fun. I always liked him because he's like the opposite of his dad in his demeanor, you know.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that part. Yeah, that part right there. Yeah, Buddy. Buddy said his brother's gonna have to earn his stripes. He's no freebies for his brother. So.
When that Grom kids shut Buddy Boeheim down, don't come back crying.
That was Jasmine. And
yep. That was Jasmine talking about Buddy.
Y'all are mean.
Oh, we're not. We love Jasmine. No, we miss Jasmine.
That's Mike. That's Michael who's mean. Don't blame that. That on K-Mac and I.
That's awesome.
That would be Michael.
No, I mean, yeah, he's. I hope there's no more Boeheims left for Syracuse fans' sake, or else Boeheim might be here there until he's 90, waiting for his kids to get out.
Oh, I asked him. He said he feels younger than ever. I said,
oh, I know.
There's no value in playing Greensboro. None.
That's the one thing I did notice. The league's two oldest coaches, right, are Boeheim and Leonard Hamilton. And both of them, I noticed this with Lenny, and it's fine. It was the end of a day, a long day. I'm sure he was asked something along these lines a bunch. You know, but Lenny was seemed a little prickly at the notion that he, you know, anything, even just asking about Roy's retirement, he's like, well, you know, it's good for Roy, but you know, I don't want to retire at all.
The same thing happened with Boeheim. Exact same thing. He turned that thing around. Well, you know, that's Roy. Have a good life.
Yeah.
I'm different.
I'm like, right. No, I know. I wasn't. Yeah. We had that moment with Leonard Hamilton yesterday too, where I was like, no implication. Sir, listen, we see you. We understand that you do not age. You know?
And he really doesn't. He really doesn't age.
Here's a wild stat for y'all, by the way. Jim Larinaga, you know what he looks like. Bless his heart. You know, I mean, he's fine. Yeah. He looks like an older man would look.
Yeah.
He is a year younger than Leonard Hamilton.
No way.
Yes, for real.
Really?
Yes. Wow. Yes. Like, and so Joe Giglio asked him yesterday, what's his secret, Leonard Hamilton, what's his secret, you know, what's the fountain of youth? And he said, I get juiced up every day. That's what he said. I got the juice every day. That's Lenny's secret. So I don't know what juice he's getting, but I want it on sale.
Yeah. I'm telling him to email us so we can go get it. I tell you though, we were his last interview, and we had a lot.
So you got that treatment too, yeah.
Oh yeah, but you know the thing is they had to go because they had to go take some pictures. So he's gonna come on again this week and talk to us. But I tell you though, his players love him, seriously.
Oh yeah,
his players talk about him. Okay, Mac. What one guy? Who was it? It was Malik Osborne. Talked about it for 10 minutes straight.
Malik is great too. I like him
a
lot.
Yeah, I like him too. Yeah, he's a good guy. Yeah, it was just awesome. Yeah.
No, it's they love him so much, and he's got a modern approach to the game, and there's nothing to argue with in terms of, like, I wouldn't have even thought that's a, you know, thing in sight for Leonard Hamilton at this point, honestly. I wouldn't have even considered it. Boeheim is a little different because he's 76, you know?
Like, right, exactly.
But even so, like, if you told me Jim Boeheim didn't retire, like, if you looked into the future and told me he didn't retire until he was 80-something, I'd be like, yeah, that makes sense. You know? I mean,
I believe
he's Boeheim's 76, but, you know, but Buddy's what, 19?
No, Buddy's 20-something.
Listen, don't do the math. Just don't. let's just let this feel-good story live. And,
actually, that's a very good point. I hadn't really thought about that. K-Mac, I really hadn't thought about it that way.
Let's just say this about Jim. He does a lot of Pilates. He has a personal trainer. The man's in good shape. You know,
there you go. But but anyway, I just want to get your reaction. I thought it was a fun day yesterday. It's always good when you bring people back together like we were yesterday.
It was really fun, and I really did enjoy talking to those guys about, you know, how they spent their time, because we hadn't really, like, they didn't have a media day last year, so we didn't know. And it was interesting to hear, you know, of the Florida State guys. Interestingly, Anthony Polite told me they picked up golf because, you know, they couldn't do anything else in the beginning of COVID. Anthony Polite had never played golf before. He's from Switzerland, and now he breaks 100.
He was fun to talk to. He's a good kid. I just wanted to point about yesterday. I was talking to Jim Boeheim about the name, image, and likeness. He said, "Well, Buddy's Buddy making all the money. Nobody else is making any money on that team. He said, I got to get Buddy to share the money. So, that was funny when you said that.
So I asked Buddy, I said, are you going to share with your brother? He said, oh, he got to get his own.
Oh, yeah, man. Of course. Yeah. Come on.
But I said, you got to figure that out on your own, kid.
Yeah, exactly. It was a fun day. All right.
Anyway, we're talking with Lauren Brownlow, the same we do each and every week. And Lauren, WRLSportsFan.com. And talking about ACC basketball tip-off from yesterday and a number of topics. But out of all of the things that you witnessed yesterday, which team, who felt like they were more excited for this upcoming season out of all the teams and coaches?
Oh, man, that's
like they
interesting.
Had something to come out and prove.
It's a little
bit of a chip on their shoulder.
Florida State always feels that way to me, but I get it.
Yeah.
You know, I get it.
Yeah.
Like Leonard Hamilton was still going with the new bloods thing. And I get it, you know, the new bloods versus the blue bloods. And it makes sense, right? I mean, they're not a quote unquote blue blood. They hadn't, and he said it too, like they hadn't been doing it for years and years and years, but they have proven, I think, over the last couple years.
Oh, yeah. They've been respect. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. And, oh, yes.
I mean, and so I think that they always keep that chip on their shoulder a little bit. And I'm excited to see, you know, yet again, them just come out and keep doing exactly what they're doing. I think that they feel like they always have something to prove. And I love that about them. And I'm excited to see them. I'm always excited to watch them and what new things they do. I was wondering, I was like, who's going to be their big guy this year? And somebody was like, well, they got the 1 7-footer, which I did remember. And they were like, he got another. And I was like, of course he did. I don't know where
it's I asked the kids, I asked the guys, how do y'all get used to like 100 people playing in one game? Because it's like, you know, but Leonard, he congratulated us. He said, the reason he does that is because the guys, they ask to come out of the game. That's what he told us. He said, the guys, they ask to come out of the game. So I just rotate people in. So I said, okay, coach. Well, my bad. I didn't know how to.
No, it's funny because there's contrasting approaches. You know, like Mike Bray poked fun at himself, and he's like, you know, I got 7 guys I would play right now. My assistants are trying to get me to add 8, and he's like, y'all are making me uncomfortable. And I laugh because that's kind of his thing. You know, we see that with Coach K sometimes too at Duke. Depending, like he'll start out the year and be like, I'm going to play a bunch of guys, and then it'll end up being like a tight 8. You know, which is fine. Everybody feels different about what they feel who they feel comfortable playing and in what situations, you know. Obviously, Coach K's approach has worked just fine, and obviously Leonard Hamilton's has worked well as well. So, it is funny to just hear them kind of have some awareness of their own, own tendencies and poke a little fun at themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Lauren. As always, it's a pleasure having you on. It was great seeing you yesterday.
Great to
see
you.
Always a pleasure. Yep.
Always a pleasure.
It's the Sports Shop with Reese and K-Mac.
But right now, we get a chance to talk to the head basketball coach for Duke University basketball, Coach K. And I'm telling you, phenomenal conversation we have, Coach K.
Coach, you got to be excited about the upcoming season. I mean, the upcoming season, you got to be excited about your team and the potential that you have in front of you right now.
Yeah, we have a great group of young men, and we're older and more athletic than we were last year. And so far, the guys have developed great camaraderie. I've been able to spend more time with them than ever. And so hopefully we can stay healthy. We have one injury right now. Hopefully we won't have any more, and we can continue to develop.
Outstanding. We're talking with Coach K. Coach, you know, coming off of last season, coming off of COVID and all the adjustments and changes, finally, hopefully everybody's gotten adjusted to it. Talk about how the team is progressing and, you know, in dealing with still working through COVID and some of the other parameters that are in place.
Yeah, well, we've been lucky. Duke has done a great job in, first of all, with vaccinations. Just about all of our students have been vaccinated. So we still have a masking requirement for fans coming in, but not a seating requirement. And then we as coaches, players, and officials would not be masked. So it's going to be exciting to actually feel the crowd again. We have our comp down to craziness this Friday night. And our guys are really excited about playing in front of the Cameron Gracies again.
Yeah, outstanding, Coach. Coach, you know, talking about the upcoming season, you know, a few weeks ago we were out and you had a press conference. We talked, and we noticed something about your staff and the diversity of your staff. Mm. Coach, I just want to ask, you know, is that something intentional that you embark on, that you want to make ensure that you have diversity amongst your staff, your coaches, assistant coaches, and the like? Because it's phenomenal to see how you bring players back and, you know, former athletes just coming back and just being a part of the program.
Well, I think I'm conscious that that's not the sole basis of my decision on who we mm-hmm. bring to. But as a result of coaching so many great young men and, you know, whatever religion, whatever race, they're all outstanding guys. Mm-hmm. And it worked out. Now to have John Shire, Chris Carawell, Nolan Smith, and we just added Emil Jefferson to the staff. And also there's diversity in age, you know, make sure that we have a pretty young staff, which helps me because I'm a pretty old guy. But as far as, especially, not as far as relationships go, but in doing drills and doing the extra work that that they need. But no, I'm conscious of having a blend of talents, not just a blend of race or, you know, but age has something to do with it too.
Yeah,
you want to make sure that you can still communicate with these youngsters.
Right. Yeah.
Absolutely. We talked to Coach Mike Krzyzewski here on the Sports Shop. Coach, this is a question I always want to ask you. Is that one of your favorite moments, if you will, outside of a family event that's close to the top of your list, and what would it be?
Well, in coaching, the most favorite is when you coach the Olympic team, and you know, you win the gold medal, and, you know, gold medals are around the necks of all your players on the stand, and the national anthem is being played, and I've seen that three times in the Olympics, two in the world. You know, outside of coaching, you know, besides family, you know, the opening of the Emily Krzyzewski Center and where it's at right now, 16 years later, and helping about a couple thousand kids in our community. Well, I'm really proud of that, proud of the team. We talk about diversity, and you should take a look at our board and our staff. And what our team there has done.
That's interesting, Coach. You mentioned Emily Casey, and great segue, because that's going to be our next question. You talked before at Media Day over at Duke about how important that is to you, and I was just blown away when you gave out some of the data and stats associated with the makeup of the kids at that school. Just talk a little bit more, expand on what all that school does for the community over in Durham. Yeah.
Well, you know, talent is not based on economic stature, mm-hmm. you know, where you're at. You know, there's young talent everywhere. But in our community, we have to make sure that young talent that comes from low-income families is developed. And when we took over the center, you know, we found that only 1 in 5 low-income kids were given an opportunity or were able to go to college, and we wanted to change that, and we have changed it. It'll not change completely to where we want, but you know, to see what these youngsters are doing now, because we've had graduating classes, and we not only have gotten kids they've earned the opportunity to go to college. We now track them. You know, we have scholars on campus where we not only work with them to get to college, we work with them while they're there for the 4 years so that they can, you know, they will graduate. And that's been an expanded aspect of the program that we've been able to develop.
Outstanding. Coach, I just want to ask you real quickly. I mean, hopefully we get a chance to talk to you more and more throughout the season and next year and beyond. But, Coach, I just want to ask, you know, the times that you've had coaching at Duke University, coaching Duke University basketball, coaching in the Olympics, What's probably been the most impactful moment coaching basketball in your life, as you can kind of think back on that?
Well, the most impactful is when you're given an opportunity to coach. In other words, when you're hired, when someone says they believe in you.
Yeah.
And it happened 42 years ago when Tom Butters said that to me and then continued to believe in me. And then with the Olympic team in 2005, when I was given that opportunity and did it for 11 years, you know, and I was believed that in by Mr. Colangelo. And so when you're given opportunities and they're backed by belief, those are the best opportunities. And I'm very grateful for that.
Outstanding.
Well, Coach, we're grateful for you to spend some time with us. That's Coach Mike Krzyzewski, the GOAT, as we call it, every Sizzler word. Coach, have a great day.
You know, when they say the GOAT, it always hurts a little bit because that's the Navy mascot.
And it is, Coach.
I feel like I've gone over to the bad side.
Exactly.
No, it's a good thing, Coach.
And us Army grads, we don't like that too much, Coach, so I agree with you.
All right. Take care,
Coach.
Oh, man.
Don't mention the Navy around the West Point guy now.
I know. Don't call him the GOAT. He said, that's cool, man. But don't do that at all. That's good, though.
It's the Sports Shop with Reese and K-Mac.
I knew it wouldn't be long before this guy calls in to continue to harass me and support Reese. But right now, we got Mike and Kerry on the line. What's going on, Mike? How you doing?
You know, I was just out here getting my coffee, minding my own business, deleting my emails.
Too late. Google's already got it.
Listen, especially my draft folder. Lord, if anyone saw my draft folder. You know, when you fire those things up and then you say, I'll sleep on that one.
Yeah, now that's probably true, though, for real.
That draft folder. Anyway, listen, I mind my own business. I hear y'all coming after Navy's neck. You and your buddy.
Me and my... Somebody, you talking about Coach K?
What do you mean, man?
I don't have it.
What do you mean?
I'm not going to have it.
In the Navy.
In the Navy.
That's right. Where they have the GOAT as a mascot.
Yeah. Shout out to all my Navy vets. Lando, DC, DJ.
DJ.
You're going to get mad I call him DC.
Now you're all down with us. But before, when Coach K was talking, you're like, yeah, Coach K, you know, us Army guys, we got 6 years.
Yeah, that's exactly what he said, too. Yeah, oh.
What do you mean?
I heard him. Mike, I heard him.
You keep your journalistic integrity intact.
I do. I try my best, man.
Well, Michael, look, that's not true, because you should have seen him during the Tar Heel interviews. Trust me, he didn't keep his journalistic integrity at all.
No, he flies straight. He is loyal to the bone. Now, the big test is going to be if Reese will stand his ground during what's going on right now with his whole email thing and what we like to call the new cultural revolution. Because when I start hearing emails, I mean, where's Chairman Mao? What the heck's going on?
Chairman Mao.
What are they going to do? Hook probes up to you're going to put probes up to your temple now and then read and analyze your thoughts?
Michael, you're in trouble now, Michael. I can tell you that.
When I was sitting there listening to Coach K go on about the Navy, you know,
come on,
if
man.
They'd had probes hooked up to my head, the cops would be coming for me right now.
Come on, Mike.
It ain't right.
Come on, Michael.
This is a cult that, this ain't right. It didn't work out in China. It's not going to work out in America. Now, y'all need to put a stop to this foolishness. Leave the emails alone.
How about this? How about I get your emails from 1998? How about that?
Listen, that's what I mean. And what about statute of limitations?
That's what I. There ain't no statute of limitations. I don't want to hear that. We get everybody. We get the email from From the first one you ever sent, we got it. We want it.
Listen, you know it's bad. I was driving by Ravenscroft the other day. By the way, shout out. We beat Ravenscroft 3-2, and they were erecting. You know what they were erecting in the little the common there? A guillotine. What? A guillotine.
Was it for your team? Mike?
We beat them 3-2. Oh, double overtime last night, K-Mac.
Oh,
once again, man. Striking a blow against the elitist in this country. shout out Ken Cooper.
This guy, don't forget, Candace was all with us for a minute yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, she's there right with him. She's there right with him. Anyway, well, listen, just keep it fair and balanced. I expect you all to have Napoleon McCallum or Roger Staubach on for equal time.
There you go. We got to do that.
Y'all have a great rest of the day. Stay safe and delete them emails.
Hi, Michael.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Best of the Sports Shop podcast with Reese and K-Mac. Don't forget, you can download this podcast every weekday at WRALSportsFan.com, on our new WRAL Sports Fan app, and in the iTunes Store.